We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This is Talkin' Tech with Teddy. Now, here is your host, Teddy Allen.
Happy springtime, everybody. Thanks for joining us today. Special treat. As we said, it is getting late in the spring, and that means it's time we can talk championships. And we haven't been able to do that for a couple of years in regard to Lady Texter softball, but it is a new ball game. Our newest sheriff in town, Josh Taylor. Josh, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
You will deflect some of the success of this year as a coach. You should, but a lot of the credit for where the team is right now goes to you. When you're at home and you and Michelle, who are new in town, you just got here a few months ago. It's a new team to you. What do y'all talk about when you talk about what has happened this year with the Lady Texters?
Well, we talk about, with my wife particularly, we talk about the house and the backyard and, you know, how are we going to redo the bathroom and those types of things. With our coaching staff, we were talking about the team and we were looking at statistics and numbers. And last year, watching film on last year's team and figuring out exactly what needed to happen this year for us to find more success.
You and Michelle, as long as y'all been married and as long as you've been doing this, y'all never talk ball?
She doesn't know. No, not much. She talks about what happened in the stands, what flavor sunflower seeds she ate that day, and how hot it was or how cold it was. That's mainly what she talks about.
Okay, well, if she did talk ball, she would say, gee whiz, a couple years ago the Texters were 8-16. This after winning 45 games and going to a regional, in, 3 years ago. Then 22-30, and then, Lord have mercy, y'all are 35-18, 15-6 in the league. What a turnaround, and then this weekend you play for the conference championship against Southern Mississippi. Do you need to win all three games, or is there mathematically a way it could tie and all that kind of stuff?
Well, there's all kinds of different scenarios for this weekend, and I'd be honest, I don't go through. I've gone through them all. Malcolm's gone through them all, and we've talked about it all, but there's so many scenarios, and ultimately it's win game one and go from there. I mean, that's kind of where we're at with it. And, you know, I know that if we sweep, if we happen to get all three, I know that we're outright conference champions. That I do know, and that's the goal.
Well, as we sit here on May the 5th on Cinco de Mayo. Happy Cinco de Mayo to you, by the way. Game uno is Friday at 6 at the Billy. The second game, which would be Dose, that's Saturday at noon. And Trey is Sunday at 1. See the Spanish deal we did. I don't know what the Spanish word for win is, but I hope you win all three of them. Y'all are 16-4 at the Billy. We're looking at the ballpark now. Y'all are fixing to go practice before the three-game series starts tomorrow. And just, it's prettier every time I see it. What kind of difference does this facility and the fans make, especially going into what is a championship weekend?
Well, it makes a huge difference. I mean, we love playing at home. We're kind of, obviously, we feel at home. They get to sleep in their own beds. Their families are all here. And we're hoping to get a big crowd for the three-game series. We were able to move some game times around for a 12 o'clock start on Saturday to not conflict with baseball. And then baseball was able to – they moved their game time on Sunday for us not to have a conflict there. So hopefully we tried to make that happen so the fans can get and come out and enjoy both. And we hope to have a big crowd tonight, and that definitely – or on Friday night and on Saturday and Sunday. And hopefully that helps us. I know our girls were excited when we had some big crowds this year, and with the foot stomping on the bleachers and all that, they feel that, and they feel that energy. And I think that it would be real great if we can get large crowds this weekend, especially playing for a championship.
Well, again, you're looking at a team that's won 35 games and a team that went through some hard times the last couple of years. Across the street, the Bulldogs are 32-15. They're playing for a title, too. They still have a couple of three weekends left. But this is it for the Lady Textures, and then they'll play in the conference tournament next week. Attitude of this team, how big of a role has that played in getting the 35 wins?
Huge. It's probably everything, especially early on. Them accepting us and them just really being sponges at the very beginning and learning and going through different concepts on how we run cuts and relays or team defensive sets or hitting approaches, and our pitchers buying into that as well as far as strike throwing. Like I said at the beginning with the statistical stuff from last year, we knew there were some things that we had to improve on in every aspect. When we were watching film on them last year, the rotations weren't there and different things that cost you extra bases. And we talk about minimizing total bases per game and winning the freebie war. And they've bought into it. Their attitudes have been just fantastic. I mean, some things have been confusing for them, but they don't shy away from it. They ask the right questions. They stick with it. It's been fantastic to really have them be sponges this year and listen and really have a great team culture amongst themselves, too. I mean, I believe that players create culture. Coaches just kind of guide it along. But ultimately, the conversations that are happening outside of when the coaches are there in the locker room, those are the conversations that really matter. And I think that these girls are really having good conversations in there, and our culture and their attitudes and their effort has been a 10 out of 10.
Well, I mean, they've been at it a while, and it helps when you're all together if you can get along. We're going to introduce you, of course, trying to introduce you some more of these players and the team through these podcasts, but make sure to go to LaTeXSports.com, check in there every day, learn more about these players. Also, LaTeX.edu to see what's happening on the academic side. And speaking of the academic side, you've had 12 of your players with a 3.5 GPA or higher, and then 17 on the CUSA honor roll. You're a student athlete at Nevada. How hard is it to keep your grades up when you're trying to win a title?
It's hard to do. I mean, you have to be able to balance things and time management and all those things. Amber Burge does a great job over in our academic center to really help keep me informed of what's going on, as well as really communicates well with our student athletes. And I think that's a really important piece to our academic success. And then, obviously the girls individually, I mean, they really understand how to be a student athlete. They thrive in it, and they've done a great job of maintaining those types of accolades. And it's, all those things off the field are real important to a program's culture as well. And I think that's a very important piece to the success we have. I think that when you have great students and great athletes, I mean, the student part of it and how they handle their personal lives and how they handle the academic side of it translates into what we teach on the field. And I'm a real big believer in that. And you can see by the accolades academically, it's translated onto the softball field as well.
It's not bad. If a coach doesn't have to worry about what's going on off the field, gives, and if a player doesn't either, I know I've got this person to help me with my bad leg or that person to help me with my math homework, that's great. Rob and Caleb, Keegan, Miss Kim, Malcolm Butler, you mentioned Amber, all of those, and plus your staff of Chelsea and Shelby and Tyler, takes a lot to make the wheels of the bus go around. Okay, let's get down to the nitty-gritty on a couple of items concerning, like I asked you about attitude. When you got here, y'all were having trouble hitting the ball out of the infield, for instance, your first practice. So if we go hitting, defense, bases, mental, which we've talked about, pitching, let's say where you were on hitting, and then on a 1 to 10, with 1 being me hitting, which is not me having to get out of outfield, and then 10 hitting the president's door over there from home plate. Where were we at on hitting, and where are we now?
Well, just based on our BP rounds, we went from a 2 to a 9.5. I mean,
It's a true two.
They were just they didn't know who they were, and they didn't. You know, I tell them all the time, I'm not a swing coach. We're not swing coaches. We're hitting coaches. And so sometimes understanding what pitches to attack and which pitches not, what counts are best to hit in, all those types of little details we've been punching in. And then during that time is mechanical work. But we got them to really understand how to have an approach, how to have a plan, how to actually go through and progress your mechanic through a BP round. All those types of things have factored in. And you can see it progressing throughout the fall as well. And it's been exciting. Not to mention when we first got here, we were hitting these really bad softballs as well, so that wasn't helping them.
Poor equipment.
Well, just the softballs were the real cheap ones, and they didn't fly
church
very good.
Softballs,
and that factors in because that factors into confidence. Gee, I mean, if you're getting front toss and you're barely able to three hop the wall on a ball you square up, that factors into confidence. And so, you know, we got new balls in here, and if you were to watch our BP rounds the first 2 weeks, and then come out and watch them now. It's like a whole different team.
And hitting's contagious, is it?
Hitting
every
is
coach
contagious.
I've ever talked to said it is.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad we discarded the plums and got some actual balls. Defensively, where were we at? Where are you now?
It was rough on defense. And it's just because they were tight. I think the biggest thing you talk about, you mentioned the mental game a little bit. The biggest thing was the mental game. And it wasn't – we realized pretty early that it wasn't necessarily a skill level. It wasn't skill level. It was confidence. It was how to play free and loose and allow your body to do the things you're asking it to, and how to react. It's a reaction sport, and how to react to a pitch location, how to react to a ball hit to your backhand side, how to react to a ball hit in front of you slowly, how to react to your forehand side. And then all those little things start to come together. And then, to be honest with you, it's reps, 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 and more reps. It's pounded in daily on a daily basis to get them confidence to when a ground ball's hit at them at the game, it's just like the 12,000 ground balls they took over the course of the last 2 months in practice. And so translating practice to a game and being able to relax the same way you relax in practice in a game is real important. And I think they've done a great job with that.
In pitching, I've talked to my friend Audrey Pickett, and I say she's my friend because she's doing so good this year. Plus, she spent time with us, and she was just a joy to be around. But 11 and 17 last year, 3.75, and 23 and 5 is a remarkable number to have off of that season. And she could be the CSA pitcher of the year. But she was saying, I know Malcolm wrote a good, again, go to LaTeXSports.com, you read a lot more about this team. But she just didn't have a lot of confidence and just, you know, I got these two pitches and maybe they won't hit them. So pitching overall, where were you and where are you now?
Well, we're in a lot better spot now, not just with Audrey, but with Lauren and with Emma as well. I mean, both of them have really stepped up into predominant roles as we've matriculated our way through our season. But, you know, back to Audrey, it's just like you said, it's a lot of it's confidence in trusting those two pitches. And then a lot of it's confidence that she has in other people on her team, too. I think that's get lost in an individual role sometimes. I have confidence, but do I have confidence in my teammates? Excuse me. And it's particularly important as a pitcher because if you were to look at her you know, strikeouts, it's not a huge number. It's not a huge number with her statistically, and it wasn't last year either, but where she's really gotten better is in her strikeout-to-walk ratios. Mm-hmm. So that's a sign of confidence in her to be able to pitch to contact, get contact, and feel like there's going to be an out made on that particular play. Mm-hmm. And our defense have done a good job of feeding her confidence. They know when they're out there behind her. They love playing behind her because it's good tempo, it's strikes, and they're going to get work. And you know, she can have quick innings and get us back in there to hit as well. And I think our defense appreciates that she's going to command the zone. And if it's that, you know, being able to command the zone, throw strikes, and have confidence in what's going to happen behind her, I think has really been the difference with her.
Well, and it seems like I was just the same with the rest of your staff looking at the numbers. I would suspect that's the same thing. The Texters have won 20 of their last 25 games, 8 straight league games. Take you back to March 6th, the team lost to LSU, mm-hmm. and then swept at FAU, and then lost at SFA. Right then, before you came home to play FIU, I'm sure you've already told me you and Michelle didn't talk about it at ball, but if you'd have been a little tight at the house that weekend, I would have suspected I understood why. Did you say we're going to go one way or the other right then? What are you thinking in your coach's brain?
At that moment, I mean, you're starting to wonder. I mean, there were some things that happened at FAU that we weren't happy with in a lot of different areas. Obviously, you don't try to place blame in any other place except yourself. And then, you know, as far as the LSU game, we're coming off beating a really good Troy team twice, mm-hmm. and winning 4 out of 6 games that weekend. So we're coming out of that weekend, even with the loss at LSU, after a successful weekend that we weren't sure how it was going to go. I mean, mm-hmm. we really didn't. And then the FAU series, there were some candid conversations post-game. There were some candid conversations in the locker room with the team. I never felt like they were panicking, though. I never felt like – we knew that everything was still in front of us as far as the goals and all the things that we've set in the beginning of the season. And my assistants do a great job of calming team down. I mean, Shelby has the saying that she's been saying since September 14th, you know, we're going to win a lot of ball games. And I think they bought into a lot of those things. And, you know, we didn't have – it was just a tough stretch for us that year. But I think when you take the tough parts, and as far as how you coach them, I have an acronym that I use with this team a lot, and it's FAIL, F-A-I-L. And all it stands for with our players is first attempt in learning. Mm-hmm. And that's how we resolved, so to speak, that opening weekend sweep at the hands of Florida Atlantic was that, you know, we're gonna learn from this, and we're gonna continue to get better. And we've been telling them since day one too. You have to be playing your best softball at the end of the year, and that includes conference play. And so they were able to take all that information and still play loose and free and go out and, you know, get right back in it by sweeping a Florida International team. And to be honest, I'm really proud of this team. If you look at that first game of that Florida International game, it was the first 4 innings were an absolute disaster. I mean, we made 5 errors. We were down, but our pitchers did a really good job of staying with it and keeping us in the game. We were able to win it late and get that Friday night win and that first conference win under our belt. And then after that, I feel like they just finally – it was almost like a deep breath, and here we go. Mm-hmm. And then they were able to kind of start playing how they're capable of and not panic and not get out of character or try mm-hmm. to do too much, which is out of character, and just be who they are. And when you do that, I think you give yourself a chance to win day in and day out. And so since that first opening weekend against Florida Atlantic, I think we've been able to do that.
Yeah, swept FIU and then at UTEP, 1 loss, but came back 1 on a Sunday, 1 on a Sunday at UTSA, lost the opener at North Texas, and then won the next 2, 9-3 and 6-5. And that was big on the road. Since then, won 6 more league games in a row. So, if you, again, it's really an interesting season. If you want to go back to LaTexSports.com and just read the game stories, and there have been some ups and downs, especially if you go back the last 3 years, you'll see some major dips. And to have 35 wins at this point and be able to play for the league title is awesome. Kylie Neal she's the hitter of the week. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Tell me why she deserved that. She's, of course, number 32, and that's a great number in Tech lore. And she was an all-freshman outfielder last year. So what was special about her weekend?
I mean, she just she finally started to drive the ball. Her barrel finally got to where she wanted it to get, and I think she's been working hard on that over the last month, with extra work and extra BP. And I mean, all the credit to Kylie on that she did it out, hit it out of our nine spot too. I mean, one thing people don't realize about Kylie, she brings some speed to the table. She can do some things, and then she also brings that pop that we know is there. We see it every day in BP. It was just waiting to get it to where she was able to translate that in the game. I mean, her season didn't start off great. I mean, she missed the first weekend due to COVID, which, you know, anytime you miss the first five games or whatever it is, it takes a while to get back going. You start missing games, it's tough. And so, you know, finding a spot and where she's going to fit and all those types of things has been a little bit of a, you know, I wouldn't say a roller coaster for her, but it's hard for a player when they're not every day in the lineup and those types of things. And then we finally started to see the glimpses of it, and she settled into that role, and she deserved every bit of that award last week with her performance up at Middle Tennessee. And, you know, like I said, and you know, earlier this week, is our 8 and 9 hitters, and Kylie's that 9-hole hitter, really carried us last weekend offensively. And when anytime you can get your 8-9 to turn that lineup over to a Sierra Sacco and an Amanda Gonzalez, it's a lot of fun to coach third at that point.
Oh, fun for you. Okay, well, the Lady Texters are definitely hitting them past the infielders, and they managed to get to build a 35-18 record, 15-6 in the league, 16-4 at the Billy, where they'll play this weekend. Before we let you go, of course, it's Cinco de Mayo to everybody else. It's Tammy Wynette's birthday to me. Do you know who Tammy Wynette is? You ever heard of Tammy?
I absolutely do.
She's spectacular. And of course, she had songs like Apartment Number 9 and D-I-V-R-C, Stand By Your Man. Malcolm knows all these. Oh, yeah. I Don't Want to Play House. One of my favorites is Good Girl. Your Good Girl's Gonna Go Bad. And your team has been kind of walking over. That's fine. I'm not your team, but before you got here, because of circumstances, a tornado, pandemic, coaching changes, which kind of was this team was getting walked over after winning 45 3 years ago. Now it seems they've gone bad, but I don't know if they play with an edge, like we're going to make you beat us, if they're just workmanlike, if they're loose. How would you describe your game?
I think it's a combination of everything. When you sometimes your hardest, your best lessons that you learn in life, whether it's softball or not, are the hardest ones to swallow at first. And I think what they've been through the last 2 years, it goes back to that acronym of FAIL. They've had a lot of lessons, good, bad. They've learned what doesn't work, what does work. They actually understand what does and doesn't work on the softball field through those hard lessons. And I think it's actually helped us coach a lot this year and helped us gather buy-in and that connection that we desperately needed early on, especially to get them to listen to us, to understand why we're backside rotation on this play and why you need to be here on this particular thing or whatever it may be. Base running reads was a big deal. I mean, we do it different a little bit, and they needed to buy into it on giving them the power to make the read with balls in front of them and all these types of things. And they needed to be trusted, I guess would be the biggest word. And I think all the lessons over the last, you know, some of them 2 years, Lindsay Edwards, 4 years, going from Mark Montgomery to somebody else to somebody else to me, you know, those are hard things. Those are hard things for a player to go through. And you know, we had to bring the fun of it, too, with the music at practice. And, you know, there's times where we tested them this fall deliberately where I would go out and act, you know, like I'm in a bad mood, see what they do. Or go out and I'm dancing before practice to see how they do. Because we're trying to learn as coaches how to teach, how to coach them, what's the best atmosphere for our players. And all those lessons come into play as far as the good times, the bad times that a lot of them have been through over the last, you know, 3-4 years, to really solidify them as people and to really solidify a mental toughness in some of these girls. To be honest, that I believe will last them the rest of their lives, whether it's in a crowded job search or a final exam or any of those types of things. All those lessons can serve you well if you know how to respond to them. And we talk about response a lot as well. And these girls have definitely responded to everything, good and the bad, that has happened to them over the course of their careers here at Tech.
Well, this bunch has gone bad, which means good. And congratulations to y'all in that the support staff, the coaches,
the players, everybody's worked to get to this spot where with three games left, you're in charge of your own destiny. You can be Conference USA champs. That's all you can ask for when you drop the balls at the first of the season, you know, start practicing. So Friday night at 6, Saturday at noon, Sunday at 1. Anything else, Coach, before you want to before we close up this and on the eve of your three-game battle with Southern Miss?
If you're listening, come out and support us this weekend. We could use the fan support, and our team is excited about the opportunity, and we're ready to go.
It'll be fun. Don't forget, next week, y'all are gonna, there'll be the conference tournament, but the business at hand right now is to beat Southern Miss in three games this weekend. Just try to go 1-0 Friday is the key. Till next time, hope to see you at the ballpark soon. Until then.
You've been listening to Talkin' Tech with Teddy. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation.